And before we start, I would just like to stress that obviously all of you are concerned about this, interested in this project. And as you look around to your neighbor sitting next to you or across the room, I guarantee you not you agree that the person next to you or across the room. Everybody in this room has varying and different opinions as it relates to our community center. And I just ask that you continue to respect the opinions of everybody in this room, that you listen thoughtfully to all the presentations. And remember that regardless of what is said and the decision made actually possibly be made this evening, that we are all here because we care about this community. And hopefully out of that reminder and that sense of community, you will appreciate the process and respect how we move forward. So I thank you all for coming this evening and just ask that you be patient as we work through some very important presentations.
Thank you. Before I get started, I need to dial in one of our consultants, so I apologize. I'm going to try to shift a little bit to get him on the line so he can hear what's happening as well. Again, I have failed at technology, so I do apologize. I have to learn to stop touching computers.
Do you want to move forward to the introduction while Brian is set up?
Now I can kind of begin. Just to frame this discussion this evening for the board and the public that's here tonight about the Community Center project, I just would like to go over the timeline of kind of where we've been and how we got to where we are this evening. As you will recall, back in April, the board reviewed the original bids for the project as it was previously designed, and you took under consideration a possible bid award that evening and rejected all of those bids as the project came in over budget. The administration was then tasked to go back and kind of look at this and try to come up with some options for the board to consider. We came back to you on June 11th, and we presented four options to you that evening. And the subsequent meeting on June 25th, we did receive a request from the Hershey Aquatics community to the township to reconsider the 50-meter pool option as part of the larger discussion with all of the four options that we were considering at that point. The board that evening did authorize us to put that option back in for consideration, and that has become option E in this discussion tonight. With us this evening, of course, are our consultants, Jim Bogret and John Trump. They'll go over the schematic redesign of the facility. Greg Kousis is here somewhere in the room to begin discussing the construction cost estimates. Our folks from PFM are in the back. I saw Ben somewhere in here. Ben and Scott are here this evening. They will go through the funding analysis that is also included in your packet this evening. And lastly, on our conference call is Evan Hellett from SFA, he will endeavor to try to piece this all together through the pro forma that his company was involved with, and that will hopefully set the stage for a larger conversation that we're going to have this evening. So I'd like to turn it over to Jim and John and Greg at this point to kind of bring us up to speed as to where we are with our schematics.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you for coming out. We have some graphics to be presented on the screen.
Can you tell me which file? How about the page there?
Yep.
That's it.
Apologize for the scale. Last time we presented, we had just the building, and during the presentation that evening on the 11th, there was some question about its proximity in relationship to the context of the building to site. So we developed tonight's graphics to show the perimeter tennis courts, Cocoa Avenue, parking lot, and the outdoor pool. As a further overview, the Mr. Christman said, we had four options, and this evening we'll also be looking at a fifth option, which is the 50-meter pool. And certainly the goals that we had talked about previously about trying to find some significant cost savings, removing the basement, removing the second floor, getting as much of this building, if not all the building, on one floor, certainly are the cost savings goals we're trying to adhere to so that we can find an answer, find a solution that's affordable, that meets all of our goals. In addition to that, as you look through these, there's a fair amount of things that are the same from even when we had the design that went out to bid. And what I'm speaking specifically to is the Senior Center Administration multi-purpose room, teen, and really the lobby kind of core. This is the same really in every single option, and that's important to note because there was some, you know, a lot of good thought previously on the development of this, and through this analysis, even in the subsequent 3.5 months, there's still value in this, and that's important. As well as the core, what we call the wet core between the two pools, that has virtually remained unchanged as well. So when we look through these options, the differences really are in the pool, and how much water, what kind of water, configurations of the water. The outdoor pool is the same in every single option, although one option shows it slid to the right, and we'll see that shortly. And then through some further analysis between last June, or June 11th, last time I was here, to now, in addition to the addition of the 50-meter pool being looked at, through SFA and their business operational analysis, came back, and you'll hear a little bit later on tonight after my presentation about the fitness components. And the fitness component that we had previously was about 8,000 square feet in gross total, and we're looking at a number more of around 12,000 square feet. So the area that I'm speaking specifically to is the green area. That's an L-shaped area that captures even more area than we showed when I was here on the 11th. And this option shows the, sorry Mike, if you can bring that in, zoom in on me.
You should be able to, zoom?
Yeah.
You can't do that. Where do you want me?
It's okay. Well, option A is, and it should be noted as well, that all these options are smaller than the 114,000 square feet that we had in the design documents that went out to bid. Option A has a 90,000 square foot footprint. It also is showing a 35 meter by 25 yard stretch pool. The leisure pool is the same. As I mentioned previously, the core of Senior Center and administration and multi-purpose is the same. The gym and fitness are all working around this area here. And that wet core servicing both pools, all three pools, is essentially the same as what we had before. The option B is quite similar, if not nearly identical, with the difference being the pool size. So here we have a 25 meter by 25 yard. You'll also notice that we have our pool equipment room out of the basement now adjacent towards the parking lot size. Some other services and things that are going to be the rest of the building are over on this side as well. Again, the fitness gymnasium area where the walking track is, that is the same as it was in option A. This is a little bit smaller because of the footprint of the pool. So we were at 90,000 square feet, now we're at 86.2. Option C, if you can please advance that, has a competition pool only. With the singular internal body of water, we have a modified wet core. This is a little different than I pointed this out last time I was here. We still have a pool equipment on this side. You can see that this one is much smaller than the previous two. This one's at 72,000 square feet. It does take into consideration of the enlarged fitness footprint, again, this green area up here. Option D, which was the last option of the four that we had shown previously, showed the scenario, and it was up, that we just showed the idea that we'd have a leisure pool, not a competition pool. Obviously, this sparked some conversation and led to what we now have as an option E. And before I go to option E, I just wanted to point out that the fitness, again, that component is schematically shown identically to the previous option. So the next option and the final and fifth option is option E. And this one, we were nearly able to get all the building program on one floor, the exception of some, I believe about 6,000 square feet upstairs that would be above the fitness room here. And that was important because this has a challenge that we're faced with when we compare this footprint to the footprint that was approved by the last design that we had gone out to bid with. And we have a challenge at hand to control how much footprint we create so that we don't have too much site coverage on this property, because we have a number we have to hit that is a maximum site coverage. So this one is this one exceeds that amount of square footage, but we think through some further development of this option, we can get very close to getting it a little bit more aligned with the maximum site coverage. So here we have the 50-meter pool. Again, out of the basement comes our pool equipment room. We're really pushing this building on its site. We're right against the sidewalk edge on the parking lot side. There's an easement that runs parallel in this direction to Cocoa Avenue in the building. We're right against that as well. So we're really squeezing this in to make this fit on site. As I said, the coverage ratios are going to be a little bit more than what we had before, but this is allowing some space out in the front. You can see the green space here. The pool is the same as it was in all the other options, but we're doing our best to get this to fit with the options that we're considering here. There was some comment made by the aquatics folks in town that when they reviewed some of the previous designs, A through D, and it showed the competitors and the spectators being aligned on the same side. Certainly this pool can move north, and the participants and competitors could be relocated here so that one is opposite the other. And we would do that if this would come to fruition.
I think it's worth noting, just as an add-on to what Jim said, that really that seating arrangement can be accomplished in any of those floor plans, not just in option A. So it's easy enough to shift the seating and the orientation of the pool. So thank you, Chuck.
Great. For the folks who are maybe new or haven't been here in a while, could you just let us know your name and which company you're
in? Yes. My name is Greg Kousos. I'm with Capital Construction Management. We've been acting as the owner's representative throughout the pre-construction process on the project. Tonight, I am going to recap where we believe the different project construction cost budgets are for each of those options. Chuck is able to find one of those files. That is the one. So as Jim had mentioned when he started his presentation, we had made a presentation to the board and to the public June 11th, which included options A through D, and in addition to options A through D, we now have an option E to look at. Options A, B, C, and D are slightly different tonight than they were June 11th, and that is a direct result of additional square footage being put into each of those plans for an expanded fitness program. And that was on the advice of SFA, who is the Sports Facility Advisory Group that has done the pro forma analysis, and we'll be doing a presentation here shortly. So the changes to A, B, C, and D are nothing but a simple change in the square footage due to the addition of some fitness programming area. And then, as Jim had mentioned, option E is the new scenario. It is a 50-meter pool. It is the largest of the scenarios, and as Jim had mentioned, unfortunately, is unable to fit on the site as a single-story structure. So there's a portion of that that is a two-story structure. So as before, we have this broken down in probably the simplest terms, and I'll be brief in the interest of time. Gross square footage on the left, soft costs, which include not only design fees, but permitting fees, fixtures, furniture, and equipment that would go into the building, all those types of soft costs. Construction costs, which again are based on the bid results that we received in April on a cost per square foot basis, with some minor adjustments to multiply them times the new gross square footage for each of these scenarios, yielding a total construction cost, a contingency being applied to that, and then a total project cost. That is the overall scenario for the five different scenarios. If anybody has any questions, I'll turn it over to PFM.
Any other questions regarding that? Kevin, can you hear us?
I am.
We're probably a couple minutes away from you.
No worries.
Thank you.
I'm Ben Kappenstein from PFM. Glad to be here this evening to help you out with this decision. So we have a brief PowerPoint that we're going to go through. Try to keep it as brief as possible. But I think the main highlights that we wanted to go over this evening. Number one, obviously, you heard and saw some of the different designs and cost estimates. So we're going to look at those again briefly and how that relates to ultimately taxpayer impact. What, the second point that we really want to focus on here is the capital fund. So we've been here to the board before in the past, having public meetings, helping you with your planning process and using this planning tool, both looking at the general fund and the capital fund. Again, tonight we're specifically going to be looking at the capital fund, and we'll get into a little bit more why we're doing so. So again, as far as the options and the estimates, you already heard the options A through E. And so basically we were asked to obviously update our planning model that the administration and the board has been using to ultimately get to how does it impact the bottom line budget of the capital fund, as well as how does it impact the taxpayers here of the township. So again, you see the various different options ranging from about $33 million out to $36 million. So again, we put those in the models, and you will see, again, the taxpayer impact, the capital fund impact as well. But, you know, one of the kind of caveats to this is, so these are the estimates as of now. Obviously, the project has not been, so the numbers are going to be moving around. The note down at the bottom, there's potential that maybe up towards $6 million of the project cost may be able to be eliminated or deferred. It just kind of depends on how everything comes to fruition, including the capital campaign funds. So those numbers up top do not have any capital campaign funds netted out. Those are the gross dollar amounts that we received from some of the other consultants. Some of the other off-site improvements of the area where the proposed building area could be delayed, as well as some of the funds that would be utilized for the project have already been borrowed and incorporated into the model. As far as the model itself, it's kind of some of the highlights here. Again, we're just focused on the capital fund model. This is not meant to be, when Ben gets a little bit more into the details, this is not meant to be a strict accounting model where what you see today and what we're showing for maybe 2021 or 2024, that does not mean that's actually what's going to happen. This is, again, a planning model. It's evolving. We've been working very closely with the township now for quite some time. Things have changed even from last year when we were going through this process last summer and through the fall, and we expect it to continue to evolve as well as we help the township, say, this fall as you start progressing into your budget planning for 2020 as well. So we can't stress enough that this is just a planning tool to help you be able to make your decisions moving forward. It is very flexible. We understand things are moving around, different assumptions are changing. Board administration may want to see different items, not just the different options with the community center, but also other assumptions of growth in the township, different levies of taxes, whatever the case may be, fund balances. The model is able to handle that, again, to help you make decisions. As far as the capital fund itself, again, that's what we're focused on. When you break it down, it's pretty simple as far as how that, or what makes up the capital fund. It's really just debt service from debt that has already been incurred and the township's paying on. It would be potential future debt service if you would go forward with the community center and what that debt service would be, as well as then other what we call PAYGO capital projects of the township. So again, obviously the debt service component has or much of that has already been issued. The model also takes into account the various scenarios of the various community center and the PAYGO projects. And I think this is important to note that obviously you as the board have spent a lot of time on these capital projects and administration and vetting this. And again, going to continue. So we have the capital project list, not that PFM put together, but obviously what the township has spent a lot of time on, and its various consultants that are more in tune with the capital needs. And we put it into our model to help you make those decisions of what is the right year to do various capital projects. And I will stress, it's not a wish list capital project, as you all know. It's basically more of a needed capital project that you've been looking at and trying to plan out for the future. So at its simplest form, that's basically what makes up the capital fund. The bottom point, I think, is important to note that right now the capital fund tax millage or the real estate millage is 1.292 mils, and that does include the 0.3 mils that were included and approved for the 2019 budget. And we'll get a little bit more into that here in a few other slides. As far as, the model itself, so, you know, probably many of the residents, as you were going through and improving your 2019 budget, again, the 0.3 mil increase was levied for the 2019 budget. There were also discussions at that time in public meetings that may be anticipated for another quarter mil increase for 2020. So again, this has been planned for some time. So we have that built into the model, 0.3 already in effect, as well as the 0.25 that's a potential or anticipated for 2020. So even when we put those millage increases in the capital fund model, there are still some years where there are deficits, meaning the expenses are a little bit higher than the revenues. And there, you know, again, working with the township and its staff, we felt it necessarily wasn't necessarily needed to increase millage more to cover those deficits, but I think there are ways to spend down some of the capital fund balances, kind of the cash on hand in that fund, to help cover some of those deficits in those years. And again, maybe when we get to those years, there may not even be a deficit based on your planning and maybe moving some things around or other revenues or enhancement or expenditure reductions at that point in time. Now, that holds true for options A through D. There is an exception that you'll see in a little bit for option E, where that's a slightly higher cost estimate as of right now. So you will see that we have another potential millage increase for the capital fund plan in later years, if that would be the option that the township would want to pursue. So again, it is important that we're not only looking at the millage rate of the tax levy that could potentially be incurred in the future, but also keeping in mind the capital fund balance of cash on hand in that fund that could be used for other things, you know, whether it's some of the other maintenance or capital needs in the future of the community center if you move forward, or some other capital needs of the township as well. A couple things to remember about the model. Again, this is not a static model. It's not set in stone. It's going to be changing. And again, as we stressed before in prior meetings, we expect and we hope that it is analyzed at least on an annual basis, and hopefully here this fall, we'll have some more good working group meetings to look at some of these assumption changes. The timing of the capital projects is a big component of this. Again, what the township is doing, it is very capital intensive, obviously not just the community center, but all the other initiatives that you're trying to undertake. And so some of those may be moved around because we are talking about some large dollar amounts if you're trying to, you know, improve the infrastructure of the township. So again, you're doing a lot of thoughtful planning on that part. And then also, as far as how those capital needs on an ongoing basis are going to be paid for, is analyzed. Whether it's all paid from cash balances in that capital fund, or maybe some of it is financed like we did for the 2019 budget as well. So those are, again, just some of the highlights to keep in mind as we go through the numbers here. Ben, if you want to kind of hit on some of the details.
So for each option, what we're going to do is we're going to look at the capital fund budget projection. So this is the first option. Option A is $33,545,000. And you can see that we have 2018 budget, 2018 anticipated, the 2019 budget, which was adopted by the township. And then what we do is we project out until 2026. This is very similar to what you've seen before. But for option A, we put the debt service, the borrowing for this community center size in this model. You can see in the boxes down at the bottom there, the 0.3 mil that was already put into place, obviously is complete, the 0.25 being anticipated. That's gonna look similar in all these models, and that's kind of how we ran it right now. Some of these options actually could have a bit smaller tax increase than that 0.25 because the dollar amount's being lowered. However, we left the 0.25 in there because the lower that you would make that, the less capital fund balance you have remaining. And we all know that emergencies happen, things come up that you might need to take care of. So we left that in there to have a little cushion. And maybe it's something at the community center, maybe it's something else capital-wise. It's just always nice to have a little cushion. So just wanted to bring that up. This option, the 0.25, is actually the right amount. So the $33,545,000 total increase of 0.55 gets you to a balanced budget, and your fund balance stays positive. So that's option A.
Ben, I'm going to interrupt just for a second.
Yes.
While this board certainly knows the difference between A, B, C, D, and E, I want to make sure the public is following along as well. So option A, for those of you who aren't sure, is the 35-meter stretch pool. So most of these options are very similar, except for the bodies of water. So if you're comfortable in sharing which one's which, if not, I'll chime in.
If you can do it, that's great. I'm glad you're adding that. Perfect.
Don't worry about it. So.
That's perfect. Thank okay, you. So we got option A, so we can move
that.
Yes. So option A is a 35-meter competitive pool, you know, with lanes and a leisure pool, plus the gym, just all the other same amenities that you're going to see in all the options. And all of these options have an outdoor pool as well. So the big change in the options is the size of the water inside and whether there is one pool or two pools inside. So I'll call them out as Ben moves forward so everyone can follow.
Okay, so if we move to option B, or sorry, move to the graph of option A. So for each of these, if we go to the next slide. Oh, I got it here. Okay. I'll go to the next slide. Maybe go back one. Okay, so what we did is we put a graph, just if you're a picture person, instead of looking at the numbers, the graph just shows the projected capital fund balance projected out until 2026. So it's going to match the other page. It's just in graphical form. You can see that we made bigger here at the end, the $709,000 fund balance in 2026. So that number is going to kind of change around depending on what the size of the project is. So this is basically saying if you put the 0.3 is already in place, if you put the 0.25 in place, this is what the capital fund balance would look like if everything stayed the way it was in the projections, which we all know will not happen. But you know, this is again a model of planning pool, so that's kind of the point. Now if we go to the next one, so this is option B.
So option B is a 25 meter competitive pool and the leisure pool inside, everything else is the same.
Option B, $31,855,550. Very similar revenues, expenses, the 0.3 and the 0.25 again take care of this entire project. The project is a little bit less than option A, as everybody can see. So again, there's a little bit of cushion in that 0.25. If you were really wanting to cut it close, you could go down to about 0.23 mils. But again, we left the 0.25 in place, so there's a little cushion. Similar graph here. Because the project is a little bit less, there's a little bit higher ending fund balance in 2026. And again, it's important to remember that in all of these options, the fund balance never goes negative, which again, we wouldn't want that to happen. So. That's option B. Option C?
Option C is a 25 meter competitive pool, no leisure pool, and everything else the same.
Option C is $28,820,000. Again, very similar revenues, expenses. There's the millage. The graph, this one's less, so the ending balance is going to be higher at $1,781,000. Same millage increases as before. Option D.
Oh, sorry, and I just wanted to mention, if people could refrain from having private conversations, it's really distracting. This is really complex, even for us to understand. We've looked at it before, so I want to make sure everyone in the audience has a chance to focus. So please, if you need to have a conversation, if you could please take that outside of the room instead of having conversations while we're talking, that would be really appreciated. Thank you. Option D is leisure pool only, no competitive pool, and again, the rest of the amenities are the same.
So option D, obviously, is the lowest cost, $26 million, or just about $27 million. Similar chart again. The 0.25 here, just to tell you what it could be lower to if you wanted to cut it close, it could be 0.18 because of the lower cost of the project. If we go to the next page, you can see that similar to the other ones, because this is the lowest cost, we're going to end up with the highest fund balance at the end. And that's because the interest cost on the debt is less because we're borrowing less.
So maybe just to add on to that, so as an example, if the township would decide to not do the 0.25 under this project and do just the 0.18, the capital fund balance instead of $2.2 million, it's only going to be about $1 million. So it is a very significant difference, which again, we're trying to plan for future capital needs of the community center. So it is good to build up that little bit of cushion. Although there are some capital set aside in the operating budget of the community center, we feel it's still wise to make sure that the township's planning for the future now as opposed to waiting to when, you know, the need may really be there 10 or so years from now.
And just to add, just to point out, the capital project that Scott referenced earlier was in the five-year capital plan for the township. Those projects are in the expenses line item here. So that expense line item includes the debt service that's currently on the books, the debt service that would be on the books with the new community center, as well as the PAYGO capital projects, such as buying dump trucks, doing other things, fixing the library, things like that are all included, whatever was in that five-year capital plan.
So, and can you just expound a little bit about that? So in other words, the process that we went through in terms of department heads, including roads, and just talk about that a little bit.
Sure. So from what I understand, there was a big study done a couple years ago where each department was asked to come up with a list of capital projects that they felt that they needed, not a wish list, as Scott said, but something that was going to be needed in the future for Derrick Township. And all those department heads submitted that. I think it was talked about and discussed. Things were cut out that we didn't think were needed. And all the things that were left are projects that we really feel that the township has to do in the next couple of years. So those amounts are then included in the line item of expenses to make sure that we're funding those. So all the capital projects that get funded for the township are going to come out of this capital fund. So I just wanted to add that because it's not broken out specifically here, but those projects are, and so it's not just the community center in the capital fund.
Right, so all the foreseeable needs, capital needs of the township are projected out as basically as far as we can.
Correct.
I mean,
correct.
As well as we can.
Yes. Okay. So option E is?
Option E is 50-meter competitive pool and a leisure pool, and again, the same amenities that you'll find in the other options.
So this is the most expensive option, obviously, with $36,700,000. This one's a little bit different. So because of the higher project cost, there is an additional millage increase projected that would be needed out in 2022 of 0.08. So you still have the 0.3, the 0.25 anticipated for 20, and then another 0.08 to take care of the rest of this because of that higher project cost. The graph, again, it shows in that box there, the 0.08, that's different for this option because it's more expensive, and you're going to end with about $899,000 in fund balance. So how does that impact the average taxpayer of Derry Township? So what we did was, this is kind of a summary for options A through D. The 2019 millage increase of 0.3, which has already been completed, the 2020 of 0.25 anticipated, totals 0.55. What does that mean for an assessed value homeowner of $150,000? It means an extra $83 a year in real estate taxes. Similarly, $300,000 assessed value, $165, $500,000, $275. You could, if you want to do different things and look at it individually, all you do is you take the assessed value divided by 1,000, multiply it by the millage, and that'll give you the dollar amount of the tax increase.
And to be clear, the $83, that reflects the 0.3 mills that's already been in effect. So in actuality, the residents are already paying basically half of that 0.83, and then if the 0.25 mill is increased for 2020, then it will go up, you know, basically to that $83. So I just want to make sure that's already, it's already baked in.
Correct.
And you label assessed value. So there's a common level ratio. So that would be a home value of approximately what? Do you know?
For the $150,000 value home, I want to say that's closer to $250,000, somewhere in that ballpark.
The value of the home.
The market value.
Okay.
Approximately.
So that's options A through D, not option E. Option E is a little bit different because there was that extra 0.08 that we need. So here we need a total of 0.63. The total tax increase of that 0.63 is $95 for an assessed value of $150,000, $189 for $300,000, and $315 increase for $500,000. Again, as Scott said, the 0.3 is already in the taxes, so that'll be good this year. So the difference would get it up to those numbers, the 95, 189, 315. And just in conclusion, obviously we're looking at these different options. We were tasked with coming up to what the impact to the citizens would be with these different options. The township's been doing this modeling stuff for a while now. We continue to update the models. The current projections, as you saw, are pretty similar for options A through D. We have the 0.3, the 0.25, and with option E, it's a little bit more. It makes sense that the project's a little bit more, so there's a little bit higher millage increase. with that option. So the next presentation after ours is going to be concerned with the operations of the community center. So we were not asked to analyze that. There's another consultant analyzing that. That's kind of the missing piece of the puzzle in our presentation is, okay, how it's going to operate, what's the loss or gain going to be annually, and how does that play into the township's budget? So that's the next presentation. Any questions?
Questions now, or do we want to wait until we... Thank you, Dr. Scott. Evan, are you still with us?
I am. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes. Can everyone hear him?
We just turned your mic on. It should be better now. Excellent. Is that better?
Yes.
I believe so. Give us a second to pull up your report.
Anything on your screen will have to be maximized on your screen. Mine is assuming what you're looking at is a single slide, not a presenter's view. You should be able to maximize the window on your screen.
Okay. Can everyone see that? All right. Thanks, Evan. We're good.
And just to double check, you can hear me and you can now see that my screen went to the agenda page. Is that correct?
Yes.
Excellent. Okay. So first and foremost, thank you. I appreciate being able to join you remotely. I apologize I couldn't be there in person. As you see on the screen, I apologize, Evan Wheeler with Sports Facilities Advisory. I'm also one of the owners of Sports Facilities Management, although this project, as we'll talk about momentarily, fits squarely into the advisory portion of the service we provide. So, as you see, what I'd like to cover in the next 15 or so moments, number one, just giving you a brief overview of who we are and what we do as a company, remind you of exactly the scope of work, and spend some time on the process that we go through in order to arrive at our financial forecast and impact analyses, and then show you those numbers. I'll go pretty quickly here, and of course this will be at a summary level because there are five very detailed pro formas that have been provided that need to be summarized in this presentation. So just very quickly about the companies, we were founded in 2003 with a mission to dramatically improve the health and the economic vitality of communities through sports, recreation, wellness, events, and entertainment. And we've done this type of work on the advisory side for more than 2,000 communities nationally and internationally, representing more than $10 billion worth of planned facility. And our management team currently manages about 2,000 facilities across the country as full-time managers. We also provide management services to dozens more facilities across the country. But again, at the heart of what we do, it's really about serving communities, and so 99.something% of our work is related to youth and amateur sports, local community-based recreation, wellness initiatives for communities, and the other pieces that can happen within facilities and sport programs that are delivered through parks and recreation and through public sector management and through private sector management, etc. As a reminder, we had two phases to the scope of work. We were engaged first and foremost to review the plans that had already been produced and to create a professional recommendations report about those plans, both from an operational perspective in terms of the programs and how it would be offered, as well as the financial forecast that had been put in place before our involvement. So we produced that report earlier this year, and then we're engaged for phase two, which was a set of detailed operating pro formas and economic impact projections now fully in alignment with the options that you've seen A through E. And additionally, we've provided some advisory services, which I'll discuss the process for momentarily. Anytime in terms of process that we get involved in a project and we start producing a pro forma, in the most technical sense, every single activity that we look at, whether that's a basketball program or a volleyball program, a wellness initiative, or work in conjunction with our aquatic-based partners, Councilman Hunsaker, who have been involved with the township for quite a while, we go through an 8-step process with 68 different factors. But in order to visualize and talk through the process a little more effectively, I think it's easiest to think about our process as sort of a funnel. And at the top of this funnel, and I'm going to go through each of these 7 components here, one will, I'll set up 30 seconds on, 2 through 6 I will be very brief on, and we'll get to the financial forecast. But generally, what we want to understand is, number one, first and foremost, why do you want to do this? What are your definitions of success? And what does this facility, this initiative have to do in order to be deemed successful? Then we go through our analytical process, and through that, we analyze every single aspect that we can find to analyze and are told to analyze and work with communities to identify. And we arrive ultimately at our forecast. So just to touch base on each of those 7, again, 1 through 6 will go pretty quickly. But what we consider to be the parameters for the project. So if the discussion is, if you decide to move forward with creating the community center and you're looking back 10 years from now, what has it done, what is it doing that has made it successful? So the first is that it is multifunctional and multi-generational, that it is a hub for community engagement, for sports and recreation and wellness programming. The second is that it's financially sustainable, based on the township's definition of sustainable. And so currently, you're operating a recreation center, and that recreation center requires an annual subsidy. The goal for being financially sustainable is to be equal to or less than the current cost of operating your recreation center. And the third most important definition of success, although it's certainly a longer list than these three, is that it needs to be, as much as possible, a destination driver, so that on the weekends when you decide to have events, swim meets in this case, non-local visitors coming to Derry are generating new spending in that Derry, and that creates new money into your economy. So with that said, we went through our process, and I'll be very brief on numbers 2 through 6. We do a full analytical assessment of your market. We look at several different drive times from 5 minutes all the way out to 240 minutes in terms of the drive time. And we look at a key set of factors related to demographics and spending, access to your location, et cetera. We look at participation trends for sports, for recreation, and for fitness programming. We look at the existing service providers who will have an impact on facility operations. The map that's in front of you is a sampling of the fitness providers that are currently serving Derry Township and residents, and certainly some non-residents in the surrounding areas as well. And then to go into a little bit more depth about strategic initiatives, the data that we mine, if you will, from steps 2, 3, and 4 allow us then to identify some strategic initiatives that are going to be important in creating the most likely path forward and the most successful facility. And so we categorize those strategic initiatives and work with the project team and members of the community to address 4 key strategic initiatives. One was reducing the cost of development. As you know, of course, we have a range of multiple options for pools. Number 2 was improving the financial performance, looking at opportunities in your marketplace related to existing operators and how you can combine services potentially with existing operators to be additive to what the residents of the township are currently experiencing. And also looking at the cost associated with operating the facility and making sure that there are systems in place that model and demonstrate efficiencies for operations. The third initiative was maximizing the number of residents served, and this was a key point from elected officials and project team members making sure that this facility would be built and it wouldn't be an exclusive club, a country club only available to people at the highest income brackets, but that both membership and program rates are affordable, that there are key components within the facilities that allow for access and use of the facilities by as many people as possible, as many residents as possible in particular, and that people who want to participate in certain ways have a variety of options for their participation and use of the facility. And then the fourth strategic initiative, enhancing economic impact, ensuring that when in the four models that have a competitive pool, that there are both dedicated spaces for the swimmers during those meets, and that the spectators, the people who will be driving in many cases with their children, in order to participate in that meet, are comfortable and they have a great experience when they're inside the facility that helps them to have a great experience when they're outside of the facility. The final piece before we get into the forecast, and although these don't happen completely linearly, but number six is stakeholder input. So we've had a few trips on site, we've had follow-up phone calls, and then we've had what we consider to be coordinated discussions. In some cases, those are discussions that happen without us, but with our direction. In some cases, they are discussions that happen only with us and with the input from other key stakeholders involved in the process and the project. So I won't go through all of these, but we did meet with, of course, members of the Board of Supervisors throughout our time. We worked with Greg and his team, with Kimball Margaret on the architecture and planning side, and several existing organizations and facilities in the community. And finally, we got to the forecast. So in alignment with what you've seen so far tonight, we analyzed in full five different physical facilities, each of them with a bit of a unique operating model. We know that at current, the spaces in terms of square footage in the pro forma may be slightly different than what's in the design. Those will continue to grow and evolve as you hone in on the right model. But as an overview and as a reminder, when we talk about option A, that's the stretch 25. It's really more of a 36 to 37 meter pool. We have also an indoor recreation pool, and everything else, with the exception of the number of parking spaces, not included in the auditorium. Everything else in the facility remains constant. Option B is a 25 yard by 25 meter pool with an indoor recreation pool as well. Option C is just the 25 yard by 25 meter pool. Option D is just the indoor recreation pool. And as you know, option E is the full 50 meter competitive pool along with the indoor recreation pool. So once again, exactly in alignment with what you've seen and heard so far, options A through B. I'm about to get into the numbers and the projections. I just want to quickly pause and make sure that everyone can still hear me okay.
Yes, we can.
Perfect. Excellent. So I'm going to give you an overview of just one of the examples, or one of the performers, I should say. This is meant to be a high-level and quick overview that is representative of a lot of work and a lot of detail behind each one of these models. So for the sake of providing an example, as you see in parentheses, A stands for option A. So these are the projections that align with option A, which is the 25-meter stretch pool, indoor pool, and all of the other amenities as we've discussed so far. So in total, what you'll see is that we have a set of revenue lines and a set of associated expense lines along the left-hand side, and we are modeling a five-year operating forecast. So year one is your first year, and we project conservatively that year five will be full maturity. That's when you'll generate essentially your maximum revenue, and although that will grow a little bit in future years, as will your expenses along with inflation and costs, employment, etc. So just to give you an example of how detailed the numbers behind this summary of revenue and direct expenses, so these are the cost of goods sold to service that revenue, I'm going to show you just very quickly the fitness memberships revenue line, and I'm going to point out in particularly year two, where you get a $1.54 million revenue line, and the associated direct expenses of servicing that, that's not including marketing, but it is your staff and your supplies, is $331,000. So each one of these lines, just like I'm about to show you for fitness memberships, Each one of these line items has their own individual business unit profit and loss statement, which I know that this is very small on your screen. I'm not going to get into the details of what's in here beyond a couple of highlights, but this is an example of the detail behind each one of those line items. So for membership revenue and expenses, if we are looking again at year two and that $1.54 million line item, you'd see that we have the program or the service that we're offering. What's circled now in blue is just the fitness members, so those people who are members of the facility on a monthly basis for the purpose of using the fitness center and not the aquatic center. We have the rate that they would pay on a monthly basis, which is $30, per the discussions and per the model that we built. The number of members in total that would pay that, so in year two, that's projected to be just under 3,000 total individual members paying the $30 per month. Of course, they are paying every month, so that's 12 months per year that they're paying. And that line, the fitness-only members, is just under $1.06 million. All of the lines for membership, the annual fee, and drop-in passes for guests who are coming and not members equals the $1.54 million that I showed you on the last page for total revenue. And the direct expenses, again, which are not marketing, they're not management, it does not include your facility expenses related to heating and cooling of the building or turning on the lights, it's not inclusive of insurance, et cetera, but it's really the direct staff servicing these areas and any supplies, which in this case are related to Child Watch and your membership supplies. So if you look at one of those line items, which is fitness for staff, in year two, that's your largest expense for cost of goods sold. It's almost $180,000. But if you add all of those up in year two, that's the line item from the last page that I showed you, $331,000. So once again, all of the revenues and the direct expenses have their own backup profit and loss statement. And then your overhead expenses, which we break into four separate categories. Facility expenses is off the top. That's the cost of operating the building itself. Operating expenses are the cost of running the business, so that's insurance and marketing, et cetera. Your management payroll, which is inclusive of your lifeguard. So management is sort of a loose term here. It's not just managers specifically, but they are your G&A level, general administrative salaries, and then payroll taxes and benefits for those. So these are your largest expense line items. They, in year two, if we were looking at that model, are $2.3 million. By year five, at maturity, they're $2.52 million. The final piece I'm going to show you an example from option A, and then I'm going to summarize all of this into the most important numbers and a comparative side by side. But again, the final numbers for option A are related to economic impact. So remembering that the third goal that I shared with you as a definition of success for this facility is the goal of creating new spending in the market based on swim meets that would come in and bring non-locals to Derry to visit, who would stay in hotels and eat at restaurants and shop, et cetera. In this model, option A, we've got 10 total swim meets per year. In our smaller options, it's 8. In our larger options, it's 14. But we also completed a breakdown of spending, so how much someone coming from out of town will spend if they are someone who's spending the night. That's the first category here, which is the overnight visitors, and that's $108 per person per day that they'll spend if they are an overnight visitor. And those people who are not local to Derry but are not coming from far enough away that they would be spending the night in a hotel spend much less money when they're here. $33 is a projection for the day trip visitors who are spending new money in your economy and would not be there but for the swim meet that they're participating in or a spectator for. So when we look at the drivers of economic impact and we do the analysis over the 5 years, as you'll see, because this is a unique asset and these facilities are not terribly prevalent from a high quality pool that is available for competition at high level events, we have the same number of events and the same projections, unlike the economic, or excuse me, the financial performance. The economic impact is consistent on a year-to-year basis in these projections at just under $2.2 million. So that's an overview of what's, and again, a high-level and tracked overview of what's in each pro forma, but ultimately we produced five of these pro formas, and so of course we can't get into the detail for all five of them, but the chart that's in front of you shows a comparative summary of, once again, the most important numbers from each model, options A through E. And so you'll see that there is a significant variance in terms of revenue generation, particularly if you look at the two pool models, the 50-meter pool generating the most revenue at $3.1 million, and then the single pool models generating under $2.2 million. So there's a $900,000 difference from having both the second pool and in option E, the 50-meter pool. Of course, option E, the 50-meter pool, also carries the largest expenses. So when you look down at the breakdown of expenses that we just showed you, I just showed you the direct expenses or cost of goods sold, and then those four line items for the overhead expenses, you get a range from $2.3 million in your least expensive operating model, which is option D, which has the recreation pool only and no competitive pool, all the way up to, for option E, the most expensive operating model, $3.5 million per year to operate. So revenue minus expenses for this case, because we are not accounting for debt service, as was just the presentation right before mine, nor are we accounting for capital replacement, which typically you start looking at after full maturity, results in EBITDA. Earnings before interest, tax, depreciation, and amortization. And these, once again, as you see here, and I should have mentioned this before, these are a single-year snapshot in year five. So this is at full maturity. And as you saw in option A, if we went back to the EBITDA projections for option A, years one through five would get better until we get to full maturity, which for option A is an operating subsidy of about $318,000 per year, option B, $290,000 per year, option C, $407,000 per year, option D, $211,000 per year, and option E requiring a subsidy of $397,000 per year. So in each of these cases, accounting for the revenue and the expenses directly associated with operations, by maturity, not necessarily in year one, but by maturity, each of these facilities is capable of generating enough revenue under the conditions that we've analyzed the operations to cover expenses such that at maturity, the annual subsidy for any one of these models would actually be less than you are currently subsidizing your community center, your recreation center, which would be replaced by this asset. Now, it should be noted that in most cases, it's year three or four when those numbers start to line up and become comparable. So as to be expected in any new and much larger facility, it will take some time to grow into that. And in our model, most of the options in year one and year two do require an additional subsidy beyond what you are currently paying at the recreation center, but this community center option could, that is projected to, in each case, end up at maturity at a better bottom line financial performance than your existing recreation center. And then the final numbers here below are the economic impact. I showed you the $2.19 million per year in option A. Those numbers are reduced significantly with any smaller pools that are competitive. $1 million, just over $1 million in both options B and C. They have, each of those have the 25-yard by 25-meter pool. Option D does not have a competition pool, so it generates no economic impact. And option E, with the 50-meter pool, generates $3.8 million of new spending in the township because of the tournament, because of the swim meets that would be brought. So that is that's the summary in I think about 20 minutes as I was asked to keep it to. And with that, I will answer any questions that you've got for me.
So we could either ask questions of each consultant one at a time, or we could just kind of go down the line and ask questions as we feel the need. It might be more clear if we talk to one consultant at a time, but I'm happy to do this however the group would like to handle it.
I think she just fire away.
Fire away? All right.
Can I start?
Go ahead.
All right. Evan, can you give us a sense for what capital expenditures will look like after year five? So you said that likely it's a new center, so it won't need a whole lot of CapEx to fill that, but give us a sense for what we should expect after that.
Yeah, it's a pretty easy formula at a high level. What we would recommend is that as you're looking at reserving money for capital expenditure, that you look at 0.5% of the project cost to be put into an account that accrues over time and builds over time once you reach maturity. So just to use easy math, if you've got a $30 million building and none of these come out to evenly $30 million, but once you reach maturity, we would recommend that you start saving $150,000 per year towards capital improvement, or that's just a number that you know as time goes on, you'll have some major expenses over time, particularly in the 10 to 20 year mark as you start to replace some of your systems, refinish your pool, may have to address some HVAC expenses, et cetera. But I would say the safe number at about 0.5% of the project cost per year once you reach maturity is the number that you should be planning on.
So once you reach maturity or in year six, because you could potentially reach maturity sooner than 5 years.
That's correct. Obviously, when you reach maturity, you're reaching sort of a capacity threshold for your facility, and so you start to have a little bit more wear and tear with the more people come in. I would recommend that based on how you as a community typically address capital expenses, that you make that decision. Our recommendation would be once you feel like the facility is sort of planing out or leveling out, that's when you consider yourself having reached maturity and start putting money in because you've reached a stable financial position. The final thing I'll say is we are conservative in the projection of a 5-year path to maturation. In most facilities, it's more like a 3-year path. But to make sure that the township is set up with a bit of a cushion, we extended that to 5 years.
Okay, thank you.
That was actually my question to Evan, so I'm going to skip ahead to one of mine. Senator Scott, could you talk a little bit about, so you're in the back now, don't go away. Can you talk a little bit about the tax implications? I think all of us were pleasantly surprised that it was a better projection than even when we looked at this originally. Can you talk to why the numbers are what they are compared to how we looked at them when we first evaluated the community center months ago?
Yeah, I think the big reason for why the numbers look a little bit better is when we were reviewing this last summer and last fall, that was prior to the 0.3 mil increase implemented for 2019. So I think that obviously generated quite a bit of revenue, about $600,000 or so of additional revenue. So that was, I think, one of the big contributing factors. Now, some other things did move around, though. We did lower some of the other revenue assumptions in the model as well, so that kind of had an offsetting impact. But I think those were kind of the two main items.
Yeah, the only thing to add is that the use of fund balance, so if there's extra cash in any year, it goes to the fund balance. That fund balance can be used to plug a hole in the next year if there's a hole. So that assumption is made in this model, and we weren't making that assumption before, but that's one change that I think helped with the numbers a little bit.
And because of the size of the project, some of the different estimates are a little bit lower than what we were expecting, you know, what we were planning for before. That allows maybe a little bit more of a capital fund buildup, that cash buildup, that then Ben said we can utilize that to potentially plug some of the deficits in the future as well.
While they're at the podium, does anyone else have any questions for Scott or Ben?
Make sure
you ask questions.
Well, he's stole my question. Just a mention of RACP, so I didn't see any mention of RACP in there, the fact that we still have applications out there for RACP grants.
That's right.
So that could also lower the borrowing.
That's exactly right. Yeah. We were being very conservative. I think in a number, we were just using the gross data that we received from the other consultants on the project cost. And like we said, there could be maybe $6 million that could be eliminated or deferred. And then in addition to that, there could be some RACP money as well that could help offset some of those costs too.
And then this did not include also any capital
funds? That's correct.
Okay.
One other thing I just wanted to add, we talk about using fund balance to plug some of the holes. Remember, this is in the capital fund, so there's also a general fund. In that fund, there's a bigger cash balance, a bigger fund balance. That's really separate from the capital fund. So you certainly wouldn't want to drain all of your cash on these projects. That's not what we're talking about here. This is a separate fund specifically for this kind of thing. The general fund is where your fund balance, quote unquote, is held. And it's, you know, in the vicinity, somebody asked earlier, I think it's in the vicinity of $3 million, somewhere around there.
We'll be spending more time this fall and working with you on looking at the general fund. But again, the mission right now is more focused on the capital fund, because that's where the fund would come from to build.
So I think you guys have been working with us for about 3 years. Is that right?
About
on this project. So we saw a need to engage some really solid financial planning, because this is a big project. You've been with us for about 3 years, and I think maybe halfway into that, we started putting out there, when residents asked what's the worst case scenario with this project, what it would do to the taxes, we projected worst case scenario 0.55. Do you recall?
Correct. That was 0.55 just for the community center.
That's correct.
Right. And now, as you saw from the models, we not only have the community center built in there, but we also have a lot of all the other projects, capital projects.
Right.
Of the township as well, and we're still sticking, at least at the moment, with the 0.55 to cover not only options A through D on the potential community center option, but also the other needs of the township.
Okay.
And if you remember, Justin, that 0.55 was on about a $32 million, I think it was $31.6 million
yeah.
project. At that point, we were only looking at one project amount, not different options.
Right. And so if this board decided to follow through with the second part of that 0.55, we did the 0.3, 0.25, that would occur in late October, November, correct?
Correct.
And so it would be possible that some of these things that we think could come through, including the capital campaign, which we know that there's some money in the capital campaign, we would probably learn about RACP by then. There's certain things that will reduce that borrowing and potentially reduce that potential tax increase
yep.
in October. November.
And we'll be updating these numbers to reflect that okay. when the time comes.
Probably a question for Greg. Al, can you say something about the contingency built into your construction estimate? The contingency built into your construction estimate?
Yes, it is a percentage of the construction costs, simple mathematical percentage of the construction costs. We've assigned 5% as a contingency factor at this point, which is a I think reasonable contingency to start a project with.
Greg, could you talk a little bit about the projected construction schedule and how that differs among the options, just sort of in general what we might be looking at in terms of selecting one over another potentially, and how that may impact when we start and when we finish?
Absolutely. So during the bidding process that we just completed in April, feedback from the two general contractors to submit bids was that they would have liked the construction duration to be somewhere, one of them said 20 to 21 months, one of them said 22 to 24 months. Clearly, more than the 18 months that was allocated for the construction schedule. And so the recommendation going forward clearly is to make the construction duration longer, give the contractors some more time to work on the project. I think that, as I have mentioned numerous times before, will increase participation levels for the general contracting community as well as for the subcontracting community, and I think that that'll have advantages for the township.
And just again, comparing one option or the other, I mean, are there certain things we'll dictate starting later or finishing later?
So, larger building will take a little bit longer to construct. Two stories takes a little bit longer to construct than a single story building. So, the small scenario, which is option D, is probably somewhere in the 20-month range, I would suggest. And option E may be as much as 24 months. That's something we'll have to talk through a little bit, depending on what the board's decision is.
And just as one more follow-up, in terms of delays from additional approvals that might be needed, we were hearing option E might be pressing up against the edge. I don't know if it's more of a Jim and John question or you question, Greg, or maybe both all of you, but are we looking at some complications with the new larger footprint of some of these options?
So there's really two issues. One is completing construction documents, and that's really a task for Jim and John and their entire team of sub-consultants and design professionals. That is a little more of a challenge, I think, for option E than maybe the other buildings. As Jim has pointed out, many of the components that are in the design currently are similar, if not identical, to what was developed during the last phase, both in terms of admin, senior center, multi-purpose room area, team areas, the gymnasium. So there are new components that will need to be, not new components, because the buildings have been reconfigured, they're going to have to work on trying to figure out how to seam them all together, and that's going to take some time. So clearly the two-story structure would take more time than a single-story structure to work on. So that's the one side, is the building itself. The second piece is from a land development plan process, or the entitlement process on the civil side. There's really two things that has to happen. There's an amendment to the land development plan, because all of these will be different footprints, and there's also a re-review that would have to happen for going through the Dauphin County Conservation District for stormwater management facilities and the NPDES permit. The bigger the footprint, the more challenging that civil engineering piece is, clearly. Making the bigger footprint fit on the site and still trying to address stormwater management and the size of the facilities they could design to accommodate the existing footprint. So there's time and effort that's required to get through that. The smaller the footprint, the easier that is, because it's more administrative than it is a new process of calculating stormwater management based on the impervious coverage and going through the full process with the Conservation District.
Thank you.
Great, since I had most of my questions stolen already. Real quick, and this is to follow on to Mr. Weir's query. The estimates you gave us, you're confirming that they were conservative by at least 5%.
There's a 5% contingency called out in all of those total project cost numbers. The construction cost numbers, as I mentioned, are really derived from the bid results that were submitted in April in terms of cost per square foot for the building.
My question is, at this point, when will the estimates be validity tested?
What we had spoken about earlier, and this is still up for right direction from the board discussion, was having a third party do a budget verification probably a month after the architect and the team gets released on a design. They really need to advance the design to a certain level for somebody to have enough information to run good numbers on it.
Okay, so you're looking at actuals then instead of estimates.
It is not actuals. No, there'll be estimates at that point.
There'll be better estimates.
We're not going to have actuals until it goes back out for bid and goes through the bid process.
Okay. Thank you.
But just to be clear, you feel that these the budget numbers are very conservative. I mean, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but your feeling is that the bids came in so high based on unknown factors. For whatever reason, bids came in high, and to basically use those as a benchmark to project these budgets, do you think that that's a conservative approach?
I do. I was surprised that the bids came in at the number that they came in at, but we're using them as a benchmark. That's what the market's told us.
Yeah.
The cost per square foot is for this building, this structure, with you know, all the amenities that are included in it. So,
okay. So then you're putting a 5% on top of that.
Correct.
Jim, would you share just sort of your insights, any concerns you have? I think I heard you mention that you were a little concerned about option E kind of pushing the envelope a little bit, interfering with maybe some stormwater. Can you just kind of share and review for any concerns that you have about any of the options that would get
I think
away?
Greg gave a pretty good summary as to the entitlement process and the site coverage ratios and things I was alluding to or describing. This one in particular, I will also say that, you know, these are drawn at a small scale with a, you know, the difference of a width of a pen can make, you know, 2 foot difference in the plane that we sketched. So there's, as Greg mentioned, we need to take the ball and run fast and run hard, but also run smart and pay attention and tighten this up, much like we did last time when we were here. When we presented the concept and then we came back for schematic and you saw how things got tightened up. I kind of think of it like a sneaker. You pull the laces up, it gets tighter and it's more neat. And same thing happens with the building. So, you know, can we find it? Can we find some efficiency as we move forward? I fully expect that we can and we will. I mean, we've done this before. I expect that this, I'll call it a marshmallow, but this form that it's in now will definitely tighten up and, We'll definitely try to put real structure into it because the structure is different. Spans are different. Systems might be different. But so we hope that it does obviously fit. And we believe, otherwise we wouldn't show it, that this is going to fit between the easement setback that you have here and the parking lot edge. The difference between this and the one that went out to bid is that we pulled out the basement, but when you plot the basement had all the pool equipment. So now we need to move the slide that was over here to here. We need to find, you know, shift everything over to where the slide was, and we were able to just probably get enough what we believe, and we checked with Councilman Hunsinger when we designed it schematically that this is viable, this is doable. So we this left to right series of dimensions and programmatic elements here. You know, can we find a foot here? Can we find 6 inches here? You know, that nitty gritty still go through, and that's what gives me the confidence to tighten it up a little bit more. Not so concerned north south with the 100-year floodplain and the pools that were not. This is identical to what we were before. We actually removed the loading dock that was here, so we picked up some green area, if you will. So anything green is in our favor as we analyze this in its holistic state. As well as Greg mentioned, is we weren't able to get this 100% on one level. But you know, if we could take a portion of the program, and I mentioned earlier about the fitness rooms and things being upstairs, that decreases our footprint as well. So I think we need to keep all those strategies that this one were to be selected and make that happen. Does that answer your question?
It does. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions?
One quick one for SFA. Evan, you there? Evan?
I am.
Yes. Quickly, one of your meetings you mentioned about how soon we could get into swimming pools with a phased opening. And you said it was important that maybe we could get outdoor swimming pool open like in spring and then maximize our membership for the Christmas season. So we're looking for an opening, a grand opening in maybe October. Is that correct?
Yeah, just to clarify, first and foremost, the timing I will defer to Greg, obviously, who's leading that. My comment specifically was that if you think about the outdoor pool and you think about the indoor fitness type programming in particular, not necessarily the indoor pools, but the outdoor pool, the peak season, of course, being during your warmer months, so late spring would be a natural opening, if you think about your primary revenue driver, which is your fitness-based memberships, the $1 million that I showed you in year two in option A, people tend to dive in, if you will, to their fitness membership at the beginning of the year with New Year's resolutions. And so from that perspective, a very late fall or early winter opening with a full push towards membership sales and full operations in January is your ideal time for opening the fitness portion of the indoor facility.
Thank you.
All right, Evan, if you could stay on the line in case the board needs to come back for some additional questions, as well as the rest of our consultants who have joined us this evening. What we're going to do now is turn this over for some public comments. Again, the rules apply to Mr. Meeting, your address. Limit your comments to 3 minutes. And please remember, this is time for comment, not questions. If you have a specific question, we will take that under consideration and conceivably go then ask the consultants those questions at the end of the public comment. So that's pretty much the rules. And again, please remember to be respectful of everybody and their opinion and to move forward with the public comment section tonight.
All right, Brian Lane, 230 West Arriba. Let's get this thing rolling. First of all, we have an outdoor pool that isn't open because this board thinks that why waste the crisis? Let's use our children in the summer instead of opening the pool. That's what I really want to know is, why isn't that pool open? Why aren't we looking at a building that utilizes the existing outdoor pool instead of going back to the well and looking at, sorry, that's my wife. This will be another hour or two. Why are we going back to the well with a failed design and a failed consulting team? All right, now that I've set the tone. One of the success metrics from SFA is bringing out-of-towners to our community center. So I just air-quoted community center for those listening. Why weren't more community stakeholders on there? I know you guys had private meetings with Michelle Buck, a swim parent, and the president of the Hershey Company. Why didn't you engage a little bit more of the community in that process? You know, you've engaged Powertrain. That's not really a community stakeholder. What are the hidden PFM revenues? So there was a slight decrease from the previous PFM revenues that had line items, including increases for the West End project and septage revenue. Last night at the DTMA board meeting, it's probably my wife telling me to be quiet.
Just silence your phone.
Last night at the DTMA board meeting, we specifically asked none of the revenue from any potential project going forward is going to go to the township. And it was stated no. So I want to know if that PFM revenue projection has a septage in it. If it is, it's a lie.
It doesn't have any septage in it.
Thank you. Why do all the options have the same site development? If we just have a leisure pool, why are we widening the culvert between the library and the community center? Those prices aren't accurate if you're using the same site development. I mean, that's a good question for your consultants. I hope they know what the answer is. There's so many good points. Continuing with failed concepts and not looking to salvage what we already have. I already sort of made that point. Millages are hard to comprehend. Since 2011, with the proposed tax increases, Derry Township real estate taxes will be going up, since 2011, 138%. 138%. Since 2016, when the majority of this board was on here, our taxes, including the township revenues, or township community center increases, our taxes will go up 81%. 81%. And we still can't pave our roads. Where is that money going? Finally, the legacy of this board is a failure to control costs and provide basic services to our community. So even if your name's on a plaque in the community center, that's your legacy.
Good evening, my name is Skip Becker. I reside at 79 Almond Drive in Hershey. A couple of things. First concerned me the fact that it seems at this point we're developing a business and not a service to our community. We will have a marketing arm which is going to necessarily have to sell some level or another of fitness memberships. We're going to have the marketing arm who's going to have to construct and sell meats. So also must there be a sales force or at least one or two people. We have clearly been told that we have competition with other particular privately owned fitness centers in our area. They will be our competitors. Therefore, it is going to be our duty to drive them out of business if we want to optimize whatever revenue we possibly can have and secure and stabilize any expenses we're going to have. And it seems to me that one of the things we don't talk a great deal about is the pool, the community pool. We're concerned with a competitive pool, but we are not talking a great deal about a community pool, save what has just been mentioned. In 2017, 30,000 people used our community pool. In 2018, the number dropped to 20,000 because it rained. And it was closed for pump repair on a couple of occasions. It's been hot. And the community pool is a chance and a service to us who are residents of this community. I am of the opinion that it is not our business to run a business. It is our business to serve we who are residents of this community.
If you're sort of on deck, if you could just be a little closer to the podium, that would be helpful. Thank you.
Supervisors, good evening. My name is Lauren Hetrick. My address is 10 Wheatfield Drive, Carlisle. Not a current resident of Derrick Township, but a proud resident of West Granada Avenue for over 20 years. I'm here along with Kimberly Herb, who's in the back. We're representing the Hershey Corlettes, the synchronized swimming team based at Derrick Township Rec Center. I remember it as the Plaza. I don't know if anybody else does. Our team has been in existence for over 30 years. We have about 20 swimmers on our team, aged 9 to 18, from five different school districts in our region. One of the reasons why we have many non-residents on our team is there are five synchronized swimming teams in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania not affiliated with a college. Derry Township hosts one of them. Of those five, we're the only one that does not compete, and the practical reason why is pool time. Finding time in the water is very difficult to do. We have 2 hours on a Sunday night, 6 to 8 p.m., because that's what's available. We were so excited with the potential of a 50-meter competitive pool to help grow our program. I also coach at Cumberland Valley. Although it's associated with the school district and not the township, I've seen different groups coexist in the same 50-meter pool at the exact same time. Additional pool time could grow our program. This is an amazing way for us to have our young women grow in their levels of confidence and physical strength. I'm very proud to be a part of this program, and I am excited for the potential of this. It's a very challenging decision for all of you. Our aquatic program, just like all of the others, have had to find their own homes for the next two, maybe more years. We are doing that to keep our program alive. We're excited to come back home to Derry Township. Please keep all of the public comments in your thoughts as you're making the appropriate choice for the future of our community. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Carol O'Hara. I live at 2060 Berkeley Way in Homestown, South Point, actually. I just want to bring the focus, kind of what Skip Becker was just talking about. This is a community pool, and it is a community center. And we've got to remember the community is Derry Township. It needs to serve the residents of Derry Township first and foremost. And don't just focus on the pool and what we want, but remember, it's part of Derry Township. We're also going to be having school taxes that are being raised. I live right off Middletown Road, and I have just noticed within the past couple of weeks more signs for land for sale going up. Does that mean more? Is it going to be residential? I don't know. But if so, are we going to see more houses there with more children that we're going to need someday a larger school? That's a possibility. We can't focus on just the community center and the pool. This is a big decision for you all to make, the supervisors to make. I really think a good idea would be to do a referendum on this. I know you don't want to put it off until November, but I think it might be the best. It would give the residents, the ones who are going to be affected by the taxes, a chance to say what they feel would be best for Derry Township. The consultant costs, I do have a question, and I don't know if you can answer it now or if you prefer not to, but we've had a lot of consultants here tonight and in other nights looking at the pool and looking at the idea of what we want. Where does that cost come from? Is it already built into what we're seeing that we presented tonight? Because there are big costs too. Where is that money coming from? And I know initially we set the cost at $32 million. I would say stay with that price or bring it down a little if you can. I think that's the practicality. Remember, we have other infrastructure costs that are coming to Derry Township, not just the pool. Don't get so focused on the pool and the rec center that everything else is forgotten. Thank you.
Linda Iyer, 2321 Raleigh Road, also co-chair CARS. One number that was never mentioned tonight, $30,734,645.54. What is that figure? You don't know.
Continue with your comments, please.
That is the available borrowing for general obligation debt that the township has. That's it. That's what's left on the credit card. The millage increases that you mentioned, the 0.55 and the 0.63, you didn't mention general fund. The options, I ran the numbers based on the $2,083,000,000 assessment currently used for 2019. Option A, 0.15 increase. Option B, 0.13. Option C, 0.19 mil increase. Option D, 0.10. Option E, 0.19 increase. So we're talking about more tax increases. You claim you're going to save money by not operating at a loss. This year, you did not lower our general fund taxes, even though the pool was closed, the rec center is closed for 9 months. So I don't see you realizing any additional tax savings. The numbers don't make sense to me. If you couldn't this year show savings, how are you going to show savings when this thing is bleeding money? Thank you.
Arm wrestling.
Gridlock.
Thank you. A few meetings. My name is Steve Bennett. I live at 1231 East Ferry Road here in Hershey. And a few meetings ago, I stood here and I said something that's unquoted. You as supervisors are going to make a decision. And one group is going to be happy. Another group is not going to be happy. We're all going to pay for this stuff. What I'm here tonight to also do is share with you something similar. A few weeks ago, I sent an email to you, Susan, asking you to look into what happened in Eaton, Colorado. Today, the school district here wants and needs a pool. The aquatic club wants and needs a pool. the community in general would appreciate receiving an affordable recreation center. Those were also three variables that happened in Eaton, Colorado, and they recognized that need back in 2012. So what the Board of Supervisors did was recruited 25 members from the community. And those 25 members of the community worked together with the Board of Supervisors. And in 2017, they opened their new facility that started out as a $40 million project with 100,000 square feet and narrowed it down to what they actually needed and could use, including a competitive pool for our aquatic club. And they did it for $24.6 million. My question is, why can't we be prudent here? Do we need all these experts telling us what to do? Do we need all these experts helping us? Can we rely on our own citizens once in a while and get the job done and done right? Thank you for the time.
Richard Campbell, 3 Hartsville Road, Hershey. Okay, one of the things in listening to the presentation tonight, I want to know, where do we expect to get 3,000 people to join the fitness center to generate, okay, over $1 million in income? Where do we have 3,000 people in a surrounding area that are a member of fitness clubs? If I ask people to raise their hand right now, how many people are a member of a fitness club? I don't think you'd see too many. So that's a dream. I've never seen 3,000 people at any time at the Hershey Rec Center. And secondly, the gentlemen that are consultants who come in with these numbers, we're off by 30%. And now you're saying, oh no, we got it better. Well, he hasn't proved that to me yet. And you're off by 30%. That tells me something's wrong. I don't understand it. And again, it was brought up about the quote, people that are involved in here, stakeholders. I didn't see one community, senior citizen, member of Lower Center in those meetings. And clear to the next question. Where is Lower Center going to come up with $1,900 a month to pay the tenants or lease agreement for the building? How much are they paying right now? If I understand, it's a lot less than that. So you're projecting $22,800 a year from the Mueller Center. You're forgetting they have no dues. It's contributions. So how can you expect to get $22,800 out of the Senior Mueller Center? And third, when you put all this money together, are you concluding that 36, 32, 26, whatever comes out, are you adding the money you already spent in the total budget? And I think everybody sitting here tonight, if you feel you can honestly make a decision tonight and live with it, I would rather you see you get the full board, five members here, to get better input and not just try to beat out the clock because you want something. I think we've worked 5 years on it. Another year is not going to kill us. It could save us our future. And again, taxes are taxes, and they're going up. School taxes. You raise my taxes. I still don't got anything for it. So really think about what you're doing. But some of these numbers of generating funds, I don't see it. I don't go to Humblestown and swim in their pool. I don't go to Harrisburg and swim in their pools. So why are they going to come to ours? They got the wrong one. It's a lot cheaper. But to think that we can generate 4 million people if we go out 60 minutes, they're not going to come here in December, January, February, March. Okay?
Thank you.
All right, so start thinking and show respect to the community. Thank you.
Hi, Stephanie Deaton on 16 Almond Drive in Hershey. I was wondering if the tax increase to the residents include the extra costs associated with the increase in visitors. For example, road repair, like potholes, general infrastructure upkeep, because we'll have to have more frequent paving, trash and cleanup of the town and or the area after the event, increase in police presence during the event, the damage to the community caused by visitors, because this is in the center of our town, it's not over on Hershey Park Drive. This is now in our town. The pool, competitive pool, is being presented, in my point of view, as being a big money maker for our community. So that's supposed to justify the inconvenience of the town's residents. But in fact, the operating subsidies means that the facility will still be losing money. The larger pool brings a larger amount of visitors, and it affects the residents' quality of life, and Hershey will no longer be the nice, fairly quiet, small town that most of us love. And like Skip Becker said, Hershey is in the entertainment industry. The residents of Hershey are not here to host visitors and entertainment. Thank you.
Good evening, Randy Haldeman, 618 Athensell Drive, Homestown. As you kind of just touched on it, look at the different metrics on the economic impact that each model, each option has, with option E showing 3.8. I guess my question is, how do the residents benefit from that $3.8 million? There's going to be an increased burden on the community with the traffic, the hotels, more people, and I understand they're spending money, they're paying taxes, and some of it is local taxes. But given the current traffic issues that we have downtown right now, fortunately, I don't live downtown, but I've been a victim. I just wondered how that number of economic impact numbers are presented as a good thing, but what good is that for those of us residents that are paying the taxes? Thanks.
Good evening, Wayne Rivers, 815 Cypress Court. I've looked at all of your bios on the website before, looked at them again today, and I have no idea if you're going to take a vote tonight or not, but I thought I would talk about your bios and some things that you've said and done in the past. So, my left-handed daughter would be proud of me. I'm going to go right to left. Rick, you spent 32 years as a contracting officer. You know, that's amazing. That's a long time. I think the most I've ever spent in one position is 10 years. As a contracting officer, you had to be diligent. You had to make sure that you spent your money wisely. As a veteran, I know October 1st was a big day, wasn't it? September was also a pretty good month sometimes, because if you had a lot of money left over, you'd go out and spend it because you knew October 1st it was gone. So, you spent money that you were allotted. Let's do the same thing here. There's no budget for this, okay? There's no proven way to pay for this. You know, that's one of the things that we need to appeal on, is that we do some sensibility. And one of the things is less than 2 years ago, you were quoted in the newspaper when you were running for this office. Zamuda supports, quote-unquote, smarter spending, improved traffic infrastructure, better stormwater management, and, quote-unquote, responsible financing for a new recreation center. We all know that you won by 104 votes. That means that 53 votes either way could have swung your election. I bet you there might be 53 people in here tonight that might have voted otherwise if they would have known that you would be supporting something that's cannot be spent on, money that can't be spent that we don't have.
Wait, excuse me. I know you're making some points, and I'm going to let you continue, but please refrain from making what is starting to sound like personal attacks to the board.
Well, I don't think you're personal attacks.
I understand that our bios are out there, and I understand we're all to be held accountable. I was just asking that the conversation not go any further as to cause anybody any embarrassment, and that's all I ask, and that's my prerogative to do that, so thank you.
What are you afraid of?
Susan, I personally don't feel that I'm attacking. I think Rick's a good servant of the community. I've told you that personally, have I not, Rick? I do believe that. I don't believe that I'm attacking anybody personally. It's just like Matt's 36 years as an educator. I bet you if I went back and talked to parents and students that he had, they would think that he was a wonderful educator. Get some of those people in a room and ask them if this makes sense on what we're doing. Same thing with you, Susan. Your commitment to the community, your volunteerism, and your talent. I wish I could match it. Okay, it's beyond reproach. But you're the face of the campaign here as well. And I know that this is a hard thing for you to try and juggle with the amount of money that this thing is going to cost. And just the same thing with you. You do a lot of community service. But right now, with all these expenditures, if we spend this kind of money, it's going to be hard for your son. You have the youngest kid in here on the board. It's going to be tough for him to move back here once he goes away, gets educated, and so on. We're limiting our future youth to live in this township because of what it's going to cost. And two more quick things. You've already turned down a center that was at $37 million. Don't forget we've already spent $2 million, 1.9, somewhere in that area. Add that to whatever the numbers you've seen up here tonight. That's what the true cost of this thing is. Lastly, this is going to be possibly the largest expenditure Hershey has ever had. Okay? I don't know. Correct me, Justin. Am I wrong?
Billion we're in today's dollars is bigger than this.
Okay. Let's just call this thing $32 million. Let's just pick a number. Could be the largest, okay? The thing is a couple weeks ago, you had a hearing, a public hearing for a hatchet club. We haven't had a public hearing for this community center for people to be able to digest all these numbers that were thrown up here tonight so that we can have a public hearing and challenging these things so that we can all make an educated decision.
Thank you, Wayne.
Hi, my name is Deborah Blacker, 731 Old Trail Road. You have a huge decision to make tonight, possibly. There's a lot of talk about the community and the importance of the community and everyone here in our community, which I think is really important. And so I just have a few questions. Is Hershey High School a part of this community? Is the Hershey swim team a part of this community? Are Hershey High School swimmers a part of this community? Where will these swimmers swim if we don't have a pool in this community? So when you make your decision, I hope you remember everyone in our community. Thank you. Well,
good evening, and thank you for your continued hard work and integrity in this matter. My name is Dan Clough, 84 South Hills Drive, here at Hershey. First off, I wanted to thank a couple of gentlemen. I think it was Mr. Lincoln and Mr. Becker to talk about the closed outdoor pools and indoor pools that we have, about 15,000 square feet of actually developmental water in the township that was there through the end of March before it closed. And secondly, of course, to Mr. Becker's point about its importance to the community, and this is what it's about. So in addition to being a neighbor of yours, I'm also on the board of Hershey Aquatic Club. We in the aquatics community believe that developmental water plays a major role in our future and have been dedicated to the wellness, water safety, and development of our youth in this community for over 50 years. Through Learn to Swim programs, water safety courses, and developmental aquatics, we also supply critical lifeguarding and course delivered training, as Ms. Blacker mentioned, cost relief and coaching in support of the high school swimming and diving program. Swimming alone is growing at the rate of about 25% per year for the USA Swimming Foundation, but the most important point that was made is it's only one of many activities that are served by water. The Corlettes, Special Olympics, water polo, senior programs, the list goes on and on. These programs serve thousands of local residents, and with water we can do that. Without water we cannot. With benefits that include health, water safety and recreational programs. The 50-meter facility meets its mission to serve a growing population of thousands of youth under the age of 18 and people of all ages, as well as a significant underserved population in town, a population particularly underserved and at risk around water. All of these folks are our neighbors, and all will be served by this water. In fact, safety is a major local and national concern around water. In fact, the American Red Cross indicates that the leading cause of death in kids ages 1 through 4 is drowning. To help address just a part of this on the water safety point, Hershey Aquatic Club has committed to the township a program offering free water safety classes for Gary Township youth. We believe this and all activities requires more water, not less, to reach those we need to. The facts show that pool designs smaller than 50 meters propose to reduce Gary Township aquatics development water by thousands of square feet. Even with the 35-meter design and with outdoor developmental water being eliminated from all five designs, the township will lose over 7,000 square feet by the 35-meter design of developmental water from our now closed township pools. Even with the 50-meter design, our developmental water shrinks by over 3,000 feet. We believe any reduction in pool size takes away from the township's ability to reach more residents with safety and developmental program and risks us lagging further behind for what will be a decades-long investment. In sum, we believe Gary Township's growing population and vibrant community, which is widely known for its tradition of responding to the public good, along with the township numbers, prove the 50-meter facility is its strongest investment, both for tomorrow and for decades to come.
Dan, sorry, we have to wrap up.
Okay. Thank you. We urge you to choose the 50-meter design. Thank you for your time. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Ray Grace, 945 Cedar Road. A couple of meetings ago, I foolishly came to the mic and asked that the board be become more transparent in the costs of the project. And I'm very pleased to see that we have done that and we've done a comparison, particularly with the SFA numbers. At that meeting, I also challenged the competitive swim community, and I mean the broader community, to include those who swim laps in the lanes, as well as the water polo and so on. That if they wanted the 50-meter pool, maybe they ought to stand up and be counted and donate some money specifically, you know, towards that. So what I want to do tonight is make a proposal to you. Because after that meeting, I was approached by the outside chairwoman of the campaign, who, along with you, Susan, is responsible for raising hopefully $5 million, as well as Dan Tuff, who's the president of the Aquatics Club. And what they wanted to know from me is, what can we do and how can we do it? And basically, when I looked at the SFA report, you have the opportunity to control a 50-meter pool. Unlike if someone came into the township or nearby and built a 50-meter pool, you would not have the control of the events. So if you want to talk about traffic, you want to talk about other issues, you need to think about the fact that you have the control. Not all events are created equal. So with a 50-meter pool, you can choose the more profitable events, and you can choose the time of the year that they occur. If someone else builds that pool, you won't have that choice. And we'll still have all the issues and all the costs that some of these residents have spoken about. So consider that. And also consider that if you choose when those events occur, you can eliminate that deficit. You don't have to operate that facility as a deficit. Right? You can operate it at break-even or profitable, depending on when you decide to hold those events. November, December, how about January or February? And that's a swimming season. Finally, I speak to the capital. There's a $3.2 million difference between the stretch pool and the 50-meter pool. If you keep in mind that your commitment was to be below $32 million in total, if you look at the $2.7 million that has already been committed in your capital campaign,
The aquatic community is willing to add to that another $2 million, okay, not to be competitive with, but to be a part of that campaign of funds that you normally could not reach, that you normally could not get to. And in addition, work as one campaign to far exceed that 5.7. If you take the 2.7 and subtract that from the 3.6 for the competitive pool, and you subtract another $2 million, you're now down to the $32 million level that you felt was important, and I think most of these people in this room feel is important. So consider the 50-meter pool, keep control of the 50-meter pool as far as to when those events occur, and accept the communities, the competitive swim communities offer for an additional $2 million over and above anything else that we can raise in the community. Thank you.
Phil Friedrich, I live at 440 West Chocolate Avenue. Just real briefly, I just want to make a couple of points. First of all, the comments that there have not been any public discussions or hearings. I've lost track of how many of these meetings I've been to. Second, for those of you who haven't gone to the township website, there's a significant amount of very detailed, very intelligent analysis, only a part of which you've seen and heard about tonight. I work in a construction management responsible position for an organization that owns hundreds of buildings. We're building major buildings, to keep it neutral. Two major buildings and a number of and 30 smaller buildings over the next 3 years. This is very good work you're seeing and hearing here tonight. High quality work. And I would recommend everybody go to the website, look at it. If you want to download it, it's available. It's very detailed. It's very, very professional. The third point, millage is sometimes difficult to understand. You can Google how to do the math, but part of the presentation was about the tax increases with millage that has been identified. And it runs for the highest cost alternative from for a $150,000 assessed house of $7.91 a month to an assessed value for a $500,000 house for a monthly tax increase of $26.26. I know for those of you who have $100,000 worth of housing out there, an additional monthly cost of $15 or $25 is not really significant. And it makes a big difference for the community if we make an intelligent decision about among the alternatives and move towards a full-fledged improvement in the community that we can do with this. Thank you.
My name is Jill Roding. I live at 32 North Early Street in Homestown. I am a swim parent, and my daughter is on the Hershey Aquatic Club. My daughter at 3 years old was diagnosed with ADHD and a multiple host of other mental health conditions that come with ADHD. We have tried everything under the sun. We have tried sports. We have tried medications. I've had her on the highest tier of medications out there to try and help control her mental health issues. The only thing that has helped her has been being on this aquatic club and being in the water. Our first year and a half of swim teams, we lost 3 swim teams due to loss of water. And switching her from one swim team to another swim team to a new coach, to new friends, was heartbreaking for her and myself. This aquatic club, we have been on the team now, I believe, for 3 seasons. We are now part of this aquatic club family. And that's exactly what we are. We were actually told by a psychologist and a psychiatrist that they could not put her on different medications because of allergies and other issues that she has. Since we've been in full-time swimming, the repetitiveness, the patterns of the swim, we have now taken her from the highest tier dosage possible and giving her 2 pills to giving her 6 pills. We are now back down to 2 pills. And she is on one of the lowest dosages possible. When she is outside of the water, she is sometimes uncontrollable with her extra energy. So just putting her in the water and letting her have the availability to get that extra energy out has been tremendous for us as a family, and it is just her and I. I know that there are a host of other swim families that also have children with mental health conditions that are on medications, that their only outlet is to go in the pool to do the repetitive strokes. They are listening to their coaches. And not only are they listening in the pool, but they're also taking it outside into the classroom. They're taking it into the community. And I do request that you think about this 50-meter pool, not only for the swim team, but for the community as well. We can do so much with a 50-meter pool. We can do Navy SEALs training in a pool. We can do master swimming in a pool for 50 meters. And these kids swim 50-meter competitions and go into A-times. So they go on to Junior Olympics. They travel the world to making records around the world because they have a pool here. And if we make it bigger, we can only make the community better. I ask that you please keep the 50-meter pool and use it to our resource as a community. Thank you.
Foley. I live at 640 Old Ventura Farm Road in Hummelstown. Didn't really prepare anything, so I'll just keep it really short. My daughter is on the hack club team. She started when she was just turning 8, and we didn't really know anything about it. We just heard, oh, there's this team that swims all year. So, you know, we started off doing things like the developmental program first and learned to swim. And as a parent growing up within Hershey, because I've been here for a long time, it was super hard to get swim lessons for my girls and four daughters. And to get them into a swim lesson was really tough. I had to, like, get on the website right away, try and get in, because they got booked immediately. So just to get my four kids to learn to swim was really hard. I think it was probably the limit on the water at that time. But I did that. I kept working at it just to get them proficient in the water. Didn't ever know that they'd try to swim competitively. And then I was so happy when we started on the team and just found this friendship with the team. And you know, we were actually probably going to move out of the township, to be honest, because we were going to go to Bishop Devitt. And we were going to move out, save on taxes. And when we started doing the team more and more and more and met so many wonderful people, I became more vested in the community. And I feel more vested in it now because of all the people I've met. And I think for generations to come, you're going to encounter this with more and more families becoming more invested in this community because of the wonderful opportunities they can get from a thing like HAC and from having a strong competitive team and a pool that can serve the community in both competitively as well as for fun. You know, and having that you know, 50-meter pool option, I think, is the way to go. And the thing that really struck me in particular is that I find it hard to believe that we wouldn't even have a team. I mean, a pool for the Hershey Heights pool at all. You know, we have a football field. We have a full football field, not half a football field. We don't have half a tennis court. We don't have half a basketball court. But we expect our athletes to train in half a pool if we give them only a 25-meter pool. So how can they train to, you know, win the races and the 50-meter races? And how do they train to try and make it to college scholarships? And that's why you're going to get parents to stay here, move here, and want to be here, if they can try and compete for that and pursue that for their children. I think that will help the community a lot, too.
Is there anyone else who would like to make comments for our community center?
Dane Iyer, 2321 Raleigh Road, Hummelstown. I want to address what a gentleman earlier hit on, and that was the economic impact. I don't dispute the numbers that the consultant came up with, but don't fool yourselves that impact is to Derry Township. Let's face it, the hotels, motels, the restaurants, they're the ones that's going to see that $3 million. I did some numbers based on the 9,000 rooms at $150 a night, and the hotel tax, we'd see about $30,000 to help pay for the rec center. That's it out of the $3 million. The rest goes to all the private businesses, the HERCOs. They love having swim meets come in with the lodge, the hotel, and all the restaurants that they have. There may be some small hiring, but it's going to be low wage hiring, and they may not even live within the township. So I just want to point out that the economic impact has nothing to do with Derry Township.
Hello, my name is Anton Alequin. I live on 500 Elm Avenue, Hershey, PA. I'd just like to say, as a swimmer, as a student, but most importantly, as a Derry Township resident, I would just like to elaborate on this sense of community that has been mentioned many times by previous speakers. And the consensus is that this new rec center will not serve the residents of this community. But if my memory serves me right, one of the definitions of success of this future rec center is to be multifunctional and multi-generational. Multi-generational. And I don't think my generation, looking at the previous speakers, had an opportunity to say what they think, to say what we think about our sense of community of Derry Township. And to be honest, that definition of community may not always be clear-cut. But one thing to me is clear. This rec center will benefit our community. Because aren't the youth who would swim, who would work, who would simply just learn to be part of this community that we are all a part of, aren't we just as much a part of this community too? We may not be taxpayers. We may not be analysts or economists. But a community invests in its future generations. And this rec center, I believe, is an investment in the youth just as much as the community. I again would like to thank the board, and I urge you to consider the 50-meter pool again. Thank you.
It's awesome. I would love for us to have a 50-meter pool. We clearly have a demand for more water, not just for competitive swimming, but for recreational use. We have the infrastructure for hosting such large events, so there's a lot of pros there. But at the same time, we have to address the fact that people are fixing incomes. Housing costs are through the roof in Hershey. So what is that going to do to rental prices? So there are so many questions from this analysis that we got. 5 years is a very short time in the life of this facility. So to only have those projections for 5 years doesn't give us that full picture. So I would really love to see more details, longer projections, and I love what someone said about having a referendum. You know, we're in what's better than having direct democracy and having that information and having the town vested and whatever we decide to do. Those are my comments. Thank you.
Kevin Ferguson, Quail Hollow Road. Excuse me. I had a moment to look at some of the revenue numbers that SFA had put out specifically for the pool and for the different options. And the one thing, part of the revenue that I saw missing was the high school swim team revenue. They're not mentioned there. And certainly the school district should be part of this discussion. And I've always found it curious that they're not listed as one of the stakeholders. They certainly be compensating the community for the time that they use in the pool, and they should certainly be paying some money for the construction of the pool as well, in my opinion, because after all, it is their student athletes that they're responsible for the high school swim team. As they would pay for any other athletic facility, they should also put something towards the construction costs for the swimming pool. SFA, in the first phase report, they mentioned that accessibility is one of the important things that this community center needed to provide for the community. And it also mentioned that the competitive swim teams usually dominate the pool time. So the options that are presented, A and E, are really the only options that create any increased accessibility for the community to the pool. Option A does it somewhat with a couple lap lanes so the community can get in the pool and lap swim at reasonable hours. But it does really nothing for the other aquatics programs that exist. They're still going to be getting in at unreasonable hours. I mean, you have the Special Olympics swim team in at 9 o'clock at night. The synchronized swim team will be dealing with the same thing. Option A doesn't really allow for any growth. It doesn't really allow for any new programs to be developed. Option E, with the 50-meter pool, I can tell you exactly how that pool can be used. I used to have a membership at the Bucknell Fitness Center, and there would be four lap lanes in the middle of the pool. On the one end, you would have about two or three lanes for swimming lessons for the community was in there. And then on the other end, where the biggest body of water was, you had the collegiate water polo team working out. So you had three organizations at the same time using the pool. So when you have to make this decision, you need to decide whether you just want to build something or you want to build something that's really going to serve the community for the next 40 to 50 years. A 50-meter pool accomplishes that, and it allows the community center to grow with the community as it grows in size. Thank you for your time.
Good evening, my name is Patrick Sheldon, 821 Twin Oaks Drive. I'd like to talk a little bit about the community and what other people have mentioned. I am a Hershey Swim parent. And we moved here from Pittsburgh in 2012 when I got a job in Harrisburg. And in conjunction with that move, we looked at a lot of different communities around central Pennsylvania. And ultimately, we chose to reside in Derry Township based not only upon the quality of the schools, but the quality of the public amenities that are available and offered. I mean, I think everybody in here has affinity for the old rec center, for the old community pool that we are hoping to replace. It was an attraction when we moved here. That being said, once we got farther into things, needed to get our kids into swimming lessons because I do believe it's important for children to learn how to swim. With both my wife and I working, we found it was difficult to get into swimming lessons in Derry Township. Evening lessons were only offered during the summer because of lack of available space. Weekend lessons were limited and filled up quickly. So oftentimes we ended up traveling to other locations throughout the central Pennsylvania area, the Friendship Center in Harrisburg, Penn State Hershey, Harrisburg in Middletown. And when we would travel to those places, we met other families from Derry Township who had encountered the same problems as we did. It was wonderful that we had the ability to travel to those other places and get our children swimming lessons. But at the same time, I knew that meant that there were families within Derry Township that maybe didn't have the means to do that traveling, and some of those kids weren't getting swimming lessons and weren't learning how to swim. I also know from my experience with my mother-in-law, who doesn't live in the area, but has taken advantage of aquatics programs, that she's a senior citizen. As many of our senior populations do, she had a knee replacement surgery. She enrolled in water aerobics in preparation for that surgery to begin strengthening the knee. She rehabbed in the water aerobics to continue strengthening in the knee because it's low impact. She made wonderful friends there. She continued water aerobics after the recovery was complete. Those wonderful friends became her support system when my father-in-law passed away a couple of years ago. So that water aerobics program available to her and other seniors didn't just benefit her physical health by keeping her active, it benefited her mentally and emotionally by giving her those connections and those social interactions that she needed. I believe the 50-meter pool is the best option to maximize the available water for those vulnerable type populations that I've talked about, the working families, the senior citizens, people that aren't able to travel as much. The bulkhead design would allow for multiple activities to go on at once. It opens up more water space. and the other options available actually decrease the available water space and would be a step back. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to make any comments regarding the community center?
Chuck Crandall, South Point. And I've been a township resident for 60 years, give or take. I can remember the plaza pool. I can remember swimming as a youth in there. I'll leave it at that. And I'm sure most of the people here would like a community center of some form. You guys have to decide what. If we go with a 50-meter pool, somebody has to pay for it. I would ask each of you, how are we going to pay for it? Who's going to put their name on that check? Brian stole my thunder a little bit, I don't know where he went. Your legacy. Moving forward. Yes, we need, I feel, a community center. I was going to go a little off script, and by the way, I'm I'd say a card-carrying member of CARS, but we don't have CARS. So I am with CARS. A little more conservative, I think, in our spending. A little more reasonable. But think about that, please. A pool, great. If we're going to do 50 meters, somebody's going to have to pay for it. You guys, this is what 40 years of township living get you after graduating from Hershey. So we eat your vegetables.
My name is Naveen Verma, 1115 Stony Run Road. I'm a swim parent too. I have just one comment. A recent survey showed that in the whole of Pennsylvania, Hershey High School ranked, I think, number 14, and in the region, in central Pennsylvania, it's number one, and we don't have any swimming pool. When we go for different meets, in the remotest areas, we see very good facilities in the high school. So our school district deserves it. Thank you.
Good evening. Emily Clough, 84 South Hills Drive. I just wanted to take a minute to thank Ray Brace for coming forward and whoever he represents in that $2 million pledge to answer the question of who's going to pay for it and close that gap between the 50-meter pool and the 35. That's a benefit to our entire community, not just Hershey Aquatic Club. In fact, that benefit goes well beyond Hershey Aquatic Club, and I think it's going to extend well into our future. So thank you very much for whoever is represented by that commitment. I certainly appreciate it.
Jason, I swore I wasn't getting up here and saying anything, but all this talk about a 50-meter pool, everybody seems to fail and miss one issue. Yeah, well, you can build it, but you have to maintain it. And I was here at the meeting back when the fellow from Colorado said it's 30% more to maintain constantly. There's cost involved once you build it. There's a reason why all the other communities don't have a 50-meter pool. It doesn't make sense. Yes, we need a pool, not a 50-meter. Thank you.
Dennis Trout, 2010 Locust Lane, Hummelstown. My family and I have been here for over 65 years. As a strategic planner in the military, I'm now retired, with a PE in Pennsylvania, that's professional engineer, and over 45 years of professional experience, including that with the Environmental Federal, US EPA, Environmental Protection Agency. The bottom line, unless I run out of time, is this board should not make any decision tonight. They need to take time to do fiscal diligence, due diligence. Why? Because we need quality assured, quality controlled results. Haste has made waste. Haste, for the past decision to drain the old pool, was a big and costly mistake. Haste to approve doubling our debt or increasing it 125% of the outstanding debt before any bids came in was a big mistake. Why? We still can use other facilities that serve this area. No swimmer, no one interested in physical fitness will be deprived of other facilities that are available at equal or lesser cost than it was to attend the old Hershey Community Center. And those facilities outside Derry Township, we do not pay taxes to support. I believe in the term KISS. Keep it simple, stupid. A lot of stupid things have been done. There's been a lot of smoke and mirrors, models, and consultants. I can tell you, professionally, I've evaluated this. And we should go with something simple. At this point, we have increased the debt 125%. An alleged $32 million pool is going to cost us $63 million during 20 years of increased taxes. Let's just talk taxes on this board, not the models that only look at 5 years. We got to look just at this pool, and I don't care what kind it is, but this is based upon the old $32 million. Now, what does that mean? The old operating deficit was on the order of $700,000 a year. We are now spending $3.15 million a year, which equals 4.3 times that amount for this Taj Mahal of a facility that was proposed and cost overruns. And if you do the simple math, which I have provided numerous documents which have gone unanswered to the board, that's out of my personal time at no profit or expense to me. I'm retired. I think it's a public service to provide this board with good information they have chosen not to use. It's going to be greater than $380 a year on the average tax bill. Not this, don't play with the debt service, you've got to include the others. And I know I've run out of time here, but the bottom line is at minimum we're going to have a 64% increase on our taxes due to this pool. Let's not play with the funny numbers that we've seen on the smoke and mirrors. Please, take your time, consider, and I appreciate the stress you guys are all under and all the people that are attending these meetings, but do the simple math and avoid the models that can be tuned any way you want. Thank you.
I'm a little afraid to ask, is there anyone else who'd like to comment this evening on the community center? I want to make sure everyone has an opportunity. John, maybe you can have to be great for
everybody. My name is John Mayer. I live at 435 West Grimaldi Avenue. And I've sat here and listened to everybody's conversations, and I've been in positions where I've heard people, when we start a project, that they want their wish list is over here, and we have a budget somewhere over here, and you know, it's a process to work through everything. And I think your consultants have laid out several options. They've laid out various slim options and great options, expensive options, and I think your position now is try to balance that and come up with one of these options that kind of It may not please people on both sides, but somewhere it's going to provide a service to the community besides pools, a rec center, and things such as that. So, you know, it's a maybe no one will be happy when it's over with, but you'll have a service and they'll be happy later on. So I don't envy your job, but certainly not commend you for doing this. And like I say, maybe no one will be happy when it's all over with, but you know, it'll be a better for the community in the end.
Thank you. Anyone else? Hearing none, I'm going to turn back to the board to see if any member has any questions for any of the consultants who are patiently standing either in the room or on the phone. Things that you've heard from residents that may be a concern, or anything that you'd like to perhaps address that came out of some of the public comment, this would be a good time to do that.
I'll take the first swipe at this. That's an awful lot to unpack. Thanks very much. I appreciate all the concerns, both good and not so good, I guess, depending on your side of the opinion. Wayne, I want to thank you for bringing to my attention about my old job and what I did. But there are also changing priorities, too. And we were able to allocate priorities. And we were able to take care of the things that we needed to take care of or felt that were priorities at the time. I've been working on this for a year and a half now, 2 years, going on 2 years. My colleagues have been working on this for longer than that. We are marinating in these numbers. We are marinating in these meetings. We are marinating in the opinions. And we listen to each and every one of you and try to take them in. And as a lot of you have already said, it's exhausting. And it's stressful. But in my opinion, for me, I don't know that I can make a decision that is going to please everybody. In fact, both sides will probably be disappointed by my decision. So that's all I have to say right now.
Do you have any more questions for Ben, Scott, Jim, John, Greg, or Evan?
I have them.
Oh, did he? Okay. Any follow-up questions for any of the other consultants who are here? I know that this is a very, very difficult decision and one that this board does not take lightly. And as Rick mentioned, this is something that we've been working on, many of us, for several years, day in and day out. And we do that with a lot of pride and a lot of honor. And we know that tonight, whatever decision we make, if we make a decision, is going to probably upset everybody in this room for one reason or another. But we have to make a decision not based on the heart, but based on the head. And we have spent an awful lot of time going over these numbers and talking with our consultants to try to make a decision that is not only good for the short term of this community, but is good for the long term. The next board that does this will probably be 40 or 50 years from now. So this is a long-term decision. Do we have all the answers? Absolutely not. But there's no way in the world that we could have all the answers. The best that we can do is to make a decision with the information that we have before us. It's not something that we're rushing because we've taken it very seriously and continue to do that. I know the reason I moved to this community 31 years ago, and the reason that I stay is because of this community, because of all the caring people who come out to support things, and because of the importance of the sense of community in our township. It's unparalleled. It's the reason that people stay. So we all understand the importance of what this community center could bring to this community, even more so, dare I say, than the current recreation has for the last 54 years. So it's not something that we take lightly. I also wanted to mention that while you saw on one of the presentations tonight a list of stakeholders, that by and far does not come close to representing the hundreds and hundreds of people who we've spoken to, not just at these meetings, but in public listening sessions and in public meetings, to make sure that the needs of children and seniors and teenagers and business people and every single person in this community is met as best as we can with this community center as we move forward. Furthermore, I I believe, and I would think my colleagues would agree, we understand the importance of water. I think a lot of folks may be, and that's okay, those are your opinions, but I've never felt like water has been just for the aquatics community. It's for everyone, and we've had a shortage of it for a very long time. So regardless of which option we end up selecting, I think it's really important that we think about today's needs and the long-term needs of our residents, because we do need more water to build our programming out. Our recreation center, you may wonder why, you know, there aren't as many people going there as you might think or as you were projecting with the new center. It's because we couldn't grow the programming in the current center. We're out of space. We're out of water. There's not as many reasons to go there as there could be. But with this new community center, we're confident, not just based on our hearts, but based on our heads, all the information that we've been gleaning for the last 4 or 5 years, that we're making the right decision. So on behalf of the board, I appreciate and applaud you for your passion, for your commitment, for your understanding, your respect, and your patience. I also forgot, I wanted to give a quick mention to the aquatics community in general for their diligence and their passion. They don't stand to benefit from this personally. They understand the greater needs of water, and I do appreciate all the thought and the commitment that they have put behind our decision making tonight. Justin, do you have anything you want to add?
I retired 15 years ago. At that time, it was very apparent that our recommendation was failing. I'm not at all surprised that the pools are closed. I've seen the decks crack, and I've seen the leaves blow under the dome. It's time to do something. I think we have to compromise with this. I know make everyone mad, just like we couldn't get the temperature right to make everyone happy in the old pool, but we have to compromise. This community needs a swimming pool. We have deadlines to meet. Putting it off isn't going to matter. I think it's time to move forward.
Yeah, thanks. So it is a huge decision that we have to make tonight, and it's been a long road getting here. It's been 5 years. We take a lot of hits from that podium, and we did go over budget on the first round, but I'll defend our process any day. We were thoughtful. We involved the community, we involved consultants, great consultants, and certain consultants that didn't serve us well, we got better ones. And so we sat here tonight and listened to a lot of information, very smart people, and frankly, I think that we have gone through a much more respectable process than most communities or most community pools have been, that we would be compared with. So I think that we're sitting here ready to make a decision, and I feel confident that we have collected all the possible information to make a good decision. You know, it's funny, John May, good friend, and I respect your background, and it was interesting to hear your comment, and I think a couple other supervisors said it too. As I was thinking about this today, I was thinking probably the best decision that we walk away with is one that makes nobody happy. And so that could be the measure here tonight. But I just also want to add that this is personal to me. I grew up in Hershey. The current plaza was a part of my youth. I grew up in a home with a single mother who worked, and that's where I spent my summer. So getting something done on this property is important to me, and it's important to our youth. And I have children that age right now, and frankly, the fact that we're closed for a couple years is hitting me just as hard as anybody. And to see my kids not have a community pool down the street to go to this summer has been very difficult. So it's very important we get this moving for so many different reasons. Let me see if there's anything else I want to add. I also want to say that there's, from the very beginning, I fully believe that a 50-meter pool is the option to choose. And we went after it. And I think that if the 50-meter pool was built, I think it would be filled. I think it would be programmed. I think the competitions would come. And I think that it would be a very wise, long-term decision. The reality is, in my view, it's just too much on so many different levels. Trying to get it to fit to the site. Trying to get it built in the right amount of time. Trying to get the capital up front to make it work. Trying to make sure that the operating costs don't really hurt us in the township. So that's where I was for many years, and we've got to the point where I just feel like nobody can fault us, and I'm signaling where I'm going here, but nobody can fault me for making a decision or saying that it's short-sighted to go with a 35-meter option. It's 14 lanes. Current indoor capacity is 6 lanes. It will over double the space that we have. And there's also the possibility of future pools to be built. We don't have to solve this area's water issue in this project. It can happen in the future. So thanks for all the public comment. And
I think that was very well said. And, I think a lot of us have felt that way all along, that we really see the merits of the 50. We know it will be used. It will be used well. But I think we've also learned a lot between the last time the project went out to bid and this project now. And I think that information has provided us a little bit more necessary information in order to make a decision based on where we are today in our community. You know, if we went with the 50, would it work well? Probably. Maybe, you know, we can only hope based on the numbers. If we went with a 25, you know, would that serve us? Probably. We're never going to know, but we have to do something that we think in our heads and after months and months of analysis is going to hopefully serve the most needs of the most people for the longest amount of time at the best possible cost that we can afford. So I agree, Justin, that would be a direction to consider.
I think I would like to make a motion. I'm proud to make a motion that we adopt a 35 millimeter or 35.
We can build a 35 millimeter.
Which option? That would be option A.
Chuck, I don't know if you can get that back up on the board quickly or not. But that's the option that had the 35-meter pool in it, the leisure pool, and all the other amenities that remain the same among all of the other options, including an outdoor pool, fitness. And I know some people question fitness, and that is a revenue driver, and that's why that's become an important part of this redesign. So Matt has made the motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Zamuda. Is there any discussion before we take the vote?
I'd like to say one thing. I looked at all these very carefully. Again, I said I marinated on all these numbers. My only choices right now were A and B, A and or B, and I vacillated between the two ever since they started coming out. And then I started reading the numbers and going down and working my way down. I took a look again at the other ones. E is very, very tempting. And even when I was campaigning, I was for it, and God, I would love to have that. And I think everybody, the swimmers would love to have that. And I think over time, the rest of you would come to love it too. But it's just not doable for all the reasons that Justin pointed out. I settled on A.
And I would offer it's not even a, I know you're using the word settle differently, but I would say it's a good compromise, not even a settlement. Yeah. I think it gives us a little room to grow, and will fit the needs of the township for many, many years to come. And I think hopefully this will be something that each and every one of you enjoys and is proud to call your community center in your hometown.
This is our Solomon's choice.
Yeah. All right, if there's no more discussion, then Mr. Weir made the motion, Mr. Zamuda seconded it. All those in favor?
Aye.
And that motion carries.